Hi everyone, welcome to the Change Your Mind podcast, where we explore personal development, spirituality, and science. I'm your host, Chris Ashley. I'm super excited for my guest today because I have a fellow Los Angeles Tribune podcast host with me, and we're just like crushing it over there. We have an amazing network. Everyone's so cool. All the podcasts are so cool, so I'm trying to get as many on as possible to help them out. And also they have such amazing things to share. But before I introduce him, a couple quick announcements. As always, head over to the links in the show notes. You're going to find a lot there. You'll find a link to my book, Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality. It was endorsed by three people from the film The Secret: Michael Beckwith, Marcy Shimoff, Bob Doyle. It was endorsed by John Gray, who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, a whole lot more. You'll find ways to sponsor the podcast, free downloads, links to courses, coaching. You'll also find links for my amazing guest. I'm sure you're going to want to check him out at the end of the show. Find ways to connect on social media. So there's a lot there. Don't skip over that. Let's see what else. As always, this is part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network. Like I just said, we are doing fantastic things. We have events pretty much every month, so all the podcasts are great. Come join us, be involved in the community. There's so much to learn, so much personal growth happening. What if the one thing keeping you stuck is the way you think? Welcome to Change Your Mind with Chris Ashley, the podcast where science meets spirituality, and mindset becomes your most powerful tool for transformation. I'm Chris Ashley, author of Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality, trainer, speaker, and lifelong seeker. For years, I battled trauma, depression, anger, chronic illness, low self-worth, and the weight of old stories. Until I discovered how to rewire my mind, reconnect with my divine nature, and consciously create a new reality from the inside out. This show is here to help you do the same. Each week, we explore the intersection of personal development, spirituality, and science, diving into topics like healing, emotional mastery, entrepreneurship, resilience, and the quantum nature of reality. You'll hear powerful stories, gain practical tools, and real conversations that will help you change your perspective, get unshakable confidence, and live the vision your soul has always known is possible. Whether you're navigating a major life shift, building your dream business, or seeking deep healing and alignment, you're in the right place. So if you're ready to break through, take back your power, and create a life on your terms, this is your moment. Let's break free from the patterns that hold us back, awaken to who we truly are, and rise. Your transformation starts now. All right, with me today, I have Dr. Jake Clenende. So Jake isn't your typical business coach. He's a disruptor, a storyteller, and a passionate advocate for entrepreneurs who dare to dream big. As the founder of the Total Disruption TV show and podcast, and CEO of CT Coaching and Training, Jake has dedicated his career to empowering business owners to achieve extraordinary success. But Jake's expertise isn't just theoretical. He's walked the walk, building a diverse and successful career as a cyber backer, franchise owner, real estate professional, and team leader. He also just got his doctorate like a month ago, I just learned, in the green room. And he's also the number one best-selling author, co-authoring Ideas to Impact with Michael Liberci, and penning Rings of Impact and Coaching for Impact, inspiring readers to create a ripple effect of positive change through their work. He's doing so much. Welcome, Jake. I'm so happy you're here.
Thanks, Chris. No, it's great. It's great to have the conversation again. I'm really fortunate. I get to spend a little bit of time with Chris like every week. We get to hang out in the Tribune. I get to see Chris, and like she just jumps on Zoom when she's just normal Chris. And here's the cool part. She's the same Chris there as she is here. And that's something we don't normally get to see. A lot of times you'll see these podcasters look one way, but then in real life, that's not who they are. But that's my favorite part, is like, that's just who you are all the time. I had the opportunity, and I bought your book that day, actually. You and I met at the Barnes & Noble event in Los Angeles when you had your book there. I was able to get that. And it was so much fun to just hang out with you and a bunch of the other podcasters. We had Sheila E. that night. Craig DeSalt was there. We had some really cool people. That was just a lot of fun. Aaron Young had a ball that night.
It was so much fun to meet you in person. And you're so sweet for saying that. Usually on my calls, it's like the day I don't have childcare and I'm like baby in one hand, like messy bun in the other. So you're very sweet to say that. But yeah, we show up authentically, right? We all do. That's what I love about that group. You know, sometimes we're like out on a walk or driving. We have people in Singapore who it's like 3 a.m. for them and they still show up. So it's, I think it's so important to surround yourself with people who are on the same track as you.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't know, because you're in this like interesting place. Like, and this is not usually how I start my shows, but you're making me think. It's like, I just heard this recently. Like, a lot of times there's that like lonely period where you're building your business and you haven't reached the next level yet, but you're like, you've left where you were behind and you're not like quite with these people yet, but you're like Pat, like you've outgrown these people and it's so helpful to have other people there. Right.
Yeah, it is. And I wrote a whole model about this in my first book, Rings of Impact, that I did. And it's actually, that's why the book's called Rings of Impact. It's exactly what Chris is talking about right here. And it's
literally, no idea.
Yeah, right. Nobody, and that's just it. And that's what makes it fun. So I'll back this up a little bit. So I'm a Jim Rohn fan, and a lot of people are, right? And one of my favorite quotes of Jim Rohn, and I do not think that it's overused. I see it all the time. It makes me happy every time I see it. And it's, you are a product of the five people you spend the most time around. And that is, you know, where Chris is describing that lonely, that I call it the desert, is actually the thing that I call it, because you're like, all of a sudden you're like, you're alone out there in the desert and there's nothing going on. But the reality is you're not. The reality is you just need to find those mentors, those role models, those important people in each area of your life that you're working in. So like, you know, who are the model that I built, and I'll walk through it real quick, but so there's five, I believe there's five areas of your life, five rings that have the impact in your life. And so it's faith, it's family, it's health, it's wealth, it's business/job. Those are the five primaries. Now there's a lot of little stuff that goes into those. But my belief is that you have five people in each one of those areas that influence you, that impact you, that are your mentors or your role models in that space. And not everybody belongs in every circle. You just don't have five people that encompass all of that. Like, none of us encompass all of that at a high level. And the way that I grade that, and I do this on all of my coaching calls too, and most everybody's heard me say this, is I'll say, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not at all and 10 being absolutely amazing, where does this person rank? Where does this thing rank? So if I look at this of everybody that's in that ring, you know, let's call it faith, spirituality, whatever you want to name the thing. There's a reason I stay in that one first. And there's a reason business is way down here in the corner. Five people in faith that inspire me, you know, who are they? If somebody in there is below a 7 on that scale, they don't belong in there. They're not. It doesn't mean I'm just going to kick them out of my life, but I'm not going to look at them as a mentor. I'm not going to look at them as a role model to inspire me. How do I set myself up to be a better person so that I look at them and go, yeah, I'm inspired to do a little bit more, 1% better in that space. I have a business partner named Barb, and anybody that ever hears me talk about this, I bring her up all the time and I adore her. She is one of the people that catalyzed me in my life to really be like, there's no way I'd be on this call right now with Chris without Barb in 2010. I can tell you that without question, without hesitation, because she's just one of these people that believed in me because she did. Just did. She wasn't required to. You know, there's no pre-obligation, but it was one of those, like, she saw something and said, man, you're playing below your level, man. You're punching below your belt. What are you doing? You're settling for good when great is on the table. And she just, you know, she's one of these women that has kicked me in the butt to get me going. But so you would think because of, and I'm still in business with Barb and I do a lot of things with her, that maybe she would inspire me in business, that's where she would be. That's not the ring that she has the most impact for me in my life. She's actually in faith. That's why I bring that up. She lives there. She has a license plate her license plate says faithful. Literally, like, she has a vanity plate that says faithful. Like, she listens to scripture on her way to work. She's a very spiritual woman. That's just who she is, and she is just grounded in her spiritual beliefs. And I look at that inspirationally, and I always think, you know what? If she's setting a bar, I need to just keep reaching for that bar in that space. But it's not that she's in some of my other rings. I have other people that are in a ring of health for me that inspire me because of how healthy they are in different ways. I have other business role models that are there. Who are the people that inspire me as family people? So I have to look at that. And it's not that I know all of them by any stretch of the imagination. It could be authors.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah, because everyone popping in my head are like authors or speakers. Yeah,
authors and speakers. And they're people that I've heard in that moment that, you know, you can put them on a pantheon, you can put them on a pedestal, you can, and that's okay. But which area of life are you looking at? What inspires you? What are they in, you know? And you can't have 25 people in your business circle, you know? And there's a reason I put it together the way that I did, because like, what I believe to be true, and I've seen this a lot, and I think it is true, is spiritually, if you're not square, of course we call it rings of impact, and I'm saying if you're not square, but if you're not whole in that space, if you're not working on yourself in that space, all the other stuff isn't going to work really well. You're going to struggle bus everywhere else. So like, I put that first, I put health second, and I put family third. And I do that for the reason of, I've got to be spiritually healthy, I've got to be physically healthy in order so I can show up as the best version of me for my family. And at that point, once those are all squared away, yeah, I can work on the wealth thing and I can work on the business thing. But if I work on the business thing first and I ignore all the other stuff, none of those are healthy. So that's a longer dissertation on what that model looks like. And of course, it's inspired from a lot of different places, but that's just my spin on it.
I love that so much. Thank you for walking us through. And that's so funny. I had no idea that this was what you wrote a book about, which I don't know. I could have done a little research, but I also like love hearing it on the fly. I love that exercise though. And I really appreciate the order you put it in, because I agree. It's like, if you're not grounded in something bigger than you or like your own belief system, like things are going to crumble. You're not going to have anything to stand on, right? The foundation's gone. And if you don't have your health, you don't have much. No. So what comes after family? You said it's wealth and then career. Are those the last
two? It's faith, then health, family, wealth, then business / career / job, depending on where you put it in.
So how do you differentiate wealth from business?
There's a good question. So wealth is going to have a different meaning for a lot of people. It is going to have a different meaning for a lot of people. Some people are going to look at wealth from a perspective of, you know, I have my health, I have my family, I have a house to live in, I have food on the table, I'm happy, I feel a wealth in that space. Some people are going to look at wealth strictly as a financial platform. Now, wealth is going to mean different things to different people, and that's cool. For me, wealth is more of a legacy piece in the regard of wealth to me, short description means freedom. Like if I redefine it in that particular way, I don't have to necessarily ask my bank account permission to do a thing, whatever that may be, you know, wherever that's going to go, you know, if it doesn't matter, I don't have to ask permission of that. I actually had a friend of mine. It was in the financial space and speaking wealth. His name is Justin. Justin Morales wrote a book, The Abundance Effect, years ago. I was listening to him speak when he was first delivering this book. And he made a comment that has really resonated with me for several years. And it's absolutely true. He said, I've been rich 3 times and I'm just now becoming wealthy. And how he defined that is rich can be taken away. Rich can disappear. Rich can fall off. Something can happen catastrophic one way or the other, right? A business entity can shift. A partnership can go bad. A marriage can go south. Weird stuff can happen and that can divide that. So rich disappears versus wealthy is almost bulletproof. So that, you know, and I think about that from the regard of not just financially, of how do I build wealth such that it can't just evaporate, mysteriously. But how do I build that wealth of knowledge for me? How do I build that wealth of happiness, that joy, all those things for me? What am I doing so that when I get up in the morning, I just feel that automatically? It's not just I feel happy. And that's part of my affirmations and gratitudes lists in the morning that I work on. But one of the first things I always write is I am wealthy. And that doesn't just mean financially. Like Chris talked about earlier, I recently finished my doctoral and finished that up. And I kind of did that in the background in quiet, worked on things over the years and did a lot of submissions. And it took a lot, you know, non-traditional route to get there. But it's a university, you know, doctorate that I got through Liberty National. And there was a time in my life where, and again, it's in that first book, and this goes into kind of where change your mind, why we're on this podcast today. Once upon a time, if you will, third grade, I had my first parent-teacher conference. And I remember this vividly. And I spent a lot of time working on this one. Mrs. Green was my third grade teacher. And I will be honest, I will straight up tell the audience, I was a feral child. I was a rough and rugged little boy.
Find that so hard to believe. That's funny.
It's really not. Yeah, I was, and I still am. When I'm not sitting in this chair, I'm pretty rough and rugged. But as a feral little boy, I was dragging sticks and twigs and dirty and messy and just, man, you trying to get me to sit still for 8 hours, you know, in a class, I guarantee you was a challenge. Guarantee it. And I will own that. And the troublemaker that happened there was the teacher sat down at the parent-teacher conference with my parents and proceeded to unpack what we've heard a lot of times, and yet I owned it. And it was your child is unruly, you know, uncivilized, you know, going to end up in jail, disruptive. Third grade, man. But a lot of kids hear this, and this is, I don't want to say preach from the pulpit on this, but I do a little bit, because I've heard there's this desire as an adult. I don't use adult in a nice term, as an adult to turn children into miniature adults. They got to behave a certain way, sit still, be heard, be quiet. Da, 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 da. Well, that's fine to a degree. And like what happened during that moment was this: Mrs. Green proceeded to lay out a mountain of labels. And just, it might as well have been the biggest pile of sticky notes you ever saw, and just stuck them to me, because my parents believed it. My parents believed her. In that moment, they believed her. And so therefore I did. So I spent the next 25 years. I spent 25 years believing it. I used to call it the family curse. Like, I believed it to the point to where I really thought that was true, to where I would never amount to anything, was never going to do any good. I was not smart, you know, all the things, all the stuff and all the things. So back to that mentors and role model conversation we had earlier, this was a mentor and role model. This was somebody that was in front of me that I absolutely respected. She's a teacher. She's a person that has great influence over me. And that derailed me. 25 years that derailed me until, you know, and Chris knows this, until the time that I found neurolinguistics programming. Really is where the big shift occurred. But the first time was the story that I told you about Barb. 2010, guys. 2010. Wow. I owned this from the 80s. Until 2010, when somebody said to me, another woman happened to be, said, you're better than that. You are better than this. You are great. And that was when the labels started to fall off. That's when it started to occur. But is that, you know, can we solve it internally for ourselves? Yes. Yes, we can. I'm gonna say that to everybody. You can change right now in a heartbeat, no question. Does it sometimes take a push? It doesn't hurt, you know, to take that push in the right direction. Take the compliment, take the win, play the spot that somebody says, you're better than this. Don't take that as a downturn. Take that as a, you know what? You're right. I am. I can be better than this. I am better than this. And that's where the big shift for me started. And that's where I started consuming. like consuming the knowledge that I didn't for 25 years. So I bear down. I have a mountain of books that I have read. My Audible account is out of control as far as all the things that I have dug into. And as we talked about, and to the point, yeah, now I have my doctorate. I've gotten to that point. I didn't do that for, like, I want to be clear. I didn't do that for the neener, neener Mrs. Green. Look what I did. I did that because, you know, my wife believes in me too. Let's be really honest. I don't want to downplay my, you know, my wife and my existence is a huge push for me. But I did that because somebody did say, you are better than this. You are capable and you can. And I chose to believe them. So that's like a really long way around into the how I describe wealth and where that's coming from. I know that was the original question, but yeah, that's kind of the longer story.
Thank you so much for sharing that. You were like making me tear up a little. I'm like, I want to go give little third grade Jake a hug, because it's like, and you know this, it's like kids at that age, they're just programmable. They're downloading information. And like, we have to be so careful of how we speak to them and speak about them in front of them. Like, that becomes someone's lens. And I'm so glad that Barb was in your life and that you listened to her, because a lot of times when that's so deeply ingrained, it's hard for people to hear. Yeah. And I think you're right. We can make that change ourselves, like instantaneously, but it's hard to do without proper guidance. You said you read a mountain of books. What was the most like influential, like one or two?
So there's a couple of them. All right. So there's a couple different genres that I'll go with that are super influential. Okay. So from a business perspective, I absolutely love The One Thing. Jay Papasan wrote that book. It's a very simple book to read. It's one of my favorites. Everything in it just makes business so simple. It brings it down to the key elements. What is, like the book says, what is the one thing? And that has driven my coaching career and what I do with my clients and it helps me profoundly. And we all get into this, right? Everybody gets into this. Oh my God, and this is from an NLP standpoint, it's called meta models. Let's just get real technical about it for half a second. And that's the, you know, everybody's wrong. Everything is broken. All of the stuff, all of the things. And it's this huge, you know, we're encompassing everything, which is not true, which is not really true. So we drill all the way down to, okay, what's the one thing that if we solved that, we solved it all? Or what's the one thing? And the qualifying question out of the one thing is, what is the one thing I can do that by doing it makes all the other things easier or irrelevant? Mm. Easier, unnecessary, I should say, is the actual quote. But that's a cornerstone for me. I love that book. There's all kinds of fun things to quote out of there. Like, I absolutely love that one. Another one is The Prosperous Coach. Rich Litvin wrote that one. Love that book from a business perspective. That book changed my coaching business.
Interesting.
And that one really did, because we've all heard it before, but this is the first time I truly listened to it, that I actually absorbed what it said. And I loved this one on Audible because the two authors narrate it. And the one author is a very, you know, stand up, upright kind of, you know, I call him almost military the way he speaks. And the other guy is this beautiful Elizabethan English accent. I can't do it. I'm not going to try. But the dynamic between the two was really fun to listen to. But at one point, I believe it's in chapter 3, they mention your business is not about you. Your business is not about you. And something clicked in that. And it goes much, much deeper. But what that changed in me, and at the time I was feeling very overwhelmed in my business and what I'd built in my coaching business. And it's very simple, because I would get up in the morning and if Chris is one of my clients, and I'd say, what can I do for Chris today? Yeah. Now, this is a super common question, super common way to ask this. And it's coming from a servant's heart, but it's wrong. It's actually wrong. And this is the shift. And if the audience can take anything away, if anybody grabs anything from what I said, you can phase out the rest of it. Hear this. It's change the way you ask the question. If you're not getting the answer that's correct, change the question. Okay. So what should the question be that I get out of bed in the morning? If Chris is my client, the question should be, what does Chris need today? It changes the onus of ownership. It changes the way my brain has to answer the question. Yeah. I no longer have to figure out what I need to bring, because that's selfish. That's all about me. But if I change the question to, what does Chris need today? I have to think from a different way. Yeah. It absolutely changed how my coaching business, like, I will tell you that is the reason. That was the day that changed my coaching business into the business as it is today. So I love those. And then I'm from another genre altogether. I am a Peter Hathaway Capstick fan. He is an African, I know that it, this is a genre way out there. It's a different one. He is a African hunting author. Like he wrote books in the 70s about safari life. But he has this very Theodore Roosevelt way of writing that just describes the landscapes and everything that's going on. Like, it's immersive reading when I get into it. And it's just one of those, like, it's a guilty pleasure escape book for me. And he's got a whole library that's just, you read it, you can smell the campfire, you feel how hot it is, you feel sweaty. I mean, they're like everything about it, about being in Africa and doing the things and the hard life that it is and all, it's absolutely amazing. So I love him as an author. The books are great, but I love him as an author. So those inspire me. But he's something that he says, and this is in a lot of my bios, and a lot of people struggle with this one, is I say I'm a professional small boy, is one of the things that I say a lot of times. And a lot of people are like, well, tell me more about that. What is that? What does that even mean? But that came from Capstick, because he called himself a professional small boy. And I look at that from I'm just always looking at things from a place of wonder at this point in my life. Like, just that youthful exuberance of, I want to know more. I want to touch it. I want to feel it. I want to roll in it and lick it. And I want to know, you know, what that entire thing is all about. I want the immersive experience. So that's how I would define that being a professional small boy.
That's cool. Thanks for all of those book recommendations. I don't know if, I'm going to check them all out. Have you been to Africa, by the way?
Have not. It is on the list. And I have so had cool. That trip booked half a dozen times, and something has occurred that has derailed me and pulled me off of it. And I'm in the process again of, and I need to figure out what makes it non-negotiable this time. What makes it just, you know, I have bought the tickets. I mean, we were as far as that, like getting ready to leave the airport one time, and oh yeah, COVID. So that, you know, that we, things occur every single time. So I am working to figure out how I'm going, because it is a space. I mean, it's one of those things, like, there's a huge amount of romance in my life built around going there. So I will go. We're close this time. We're going to make it.
That's cool. I went to, actually right before COVID, like 2 months before COVID, I went to Tanzania and it's phenomenal. Like, the people, the landscape, the animals, like, everything is just like so beautiful. All of it is so cool.
I can't wait to do it, and it's going to happen.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm excited for you to go. Okay. So you're a business coach who's launched your own business. I'd love to ask you about, we kind of like touched on it a little bit, about that place of like being in progress. Talk to me about that place where you're building, you're having impact, but the income isn't there yet. And a lot of people struggle in that space. Yeah. Like, a lot of people quit. Just talk to me about your thoughts. Like, how do you coach people through that? What's your advice for that?
And you're absolutely right, Chris. A lot of people do. So I will back it up a little bit.
Yeah.
It is. More simple than most people think it is. It really is. It is much more simple than most people think it is, particularly in a coaching business. What we need to understand, yes, we can be an amazing coach. I know some amazing coaches out there that are making no money. And the reason for that, they suck at sales, period. The troublemaker that we've got to get our mind around when we start a business, does not matter what it is, we are now in sales and marketing. It is non-negotiable. You may be an amazing coach and that's what gives you passion and that's what gets you up in the morning and that's what you want to do. And you are in sales. That coaching piece is 20% of what you do. 80% of what you do is going out and signing clients. Note, I didn't say going out and speaking and going, I said signing clients. Get that through your head. There's a space we have got to get to that it is okay to ask for the business. We've just got to be okay with asking for the business. And a lot of people don't do it because they're afraid of being told no. They don't like the word no. But it goes back to an old axiom of, as human nature, we want to be liked and we want to be right. And when somebody tells us no, they're taking that perceived validation away. No is just not right now. Doesn't mean no, just means not today, means not right now. So you have got to remember that you are a business owner first. The employee is the coach, that you get to do that. And that's true in almost every business that is out there. A lot of people try to build it through influence first. We see this a lot. And we've built a monster platform that is all about influence and visibility through Total Disruption. And that's where most of the people are coming from, is they're lacking the sales part of it. You've got to decide you're also a salesman. You may not like that part of it. That's true, but you need to start loving that part of it. As soon as you decide to fall in love with that part of it, it gets easy. It gets really easy. The other thing is 100%, you have got to ask your current clients, the people that know and trust you, for referrals. Who do you know that I can call today that needs help in whatever my specialty niche is? You've got to ask. If you're not asking for the business, you are the bottleneck of your business.
Mm.
So.
I mean, that's such great advice. I remember when I was working with a business coach, which, you know, everyone should be, side note, like Jake, he had me doing webinars every week. And it was like such a scary thought. I was like terrified to do the first one. And then I did it and I was like, oh, that wasn't so bad. And it's like, the more you do it, there's no more fear and you work on your pitch and everything.
Webinars are a brilliant way. They're great top of funnel to bring people into your ecosystem, into your ethos, but then you've got to follow up. And that's where so many people fall down. They just don't follow up. You know, I did the work. I broke through the fear. I did the webinar. I delivered this amazing speech. I did the thing, but then I didn't text them back or message them back or email them back to ask them when they want to start to work with me. Like, oh, that you're working so hard, but when you don't ask for the business, you're working for fun. You have a very expensive hobby is what you're doing.
Do you find that a lot of people who might have said no at those top of funnel things, but they're on your email list, will like eventually, if you email them, will come around?
There's a percentage that always will, right? Huh. Here's the thing to pay attention to. Anybody that raised their hand for anything you did, send me a widget, send me a newsletter, I showed up to your webinar, they're a yes till you make them a no. They're a yes till you make them a no. They're going to come into your ecosystem and do something with you. And here's what I'll tell you, will they directly do business with you? Maybe not, but guess what? They know people. They know more people. When they trust you, they're going to refer more people to you. They're going to say, man, I saw Chris's podcast. It was amazing. Like, I really like what she's doing. You need to go read her book. Here's the link. Go buy her book. That's how commerce works. Like when we're following up and we're front of mind, they may not be the immediate buyer, but they know more people. Influence them to go out and have those people buy your product.
Yeah, that's such great advice. So what's your top of funnel? Like what have you used in your program?
We have rebuilt multiple times because the market evolves, right? The market changes. Right now, top of funnel is our TV show. It's our TV show and our podcast. So we've got two TV shows now. So Total Disruption is the show. It looks like this, and Michael and I are just tackling the normal topics that are coming up that are popular on YouTube today, or one of our clients said, hey, I need to know more about this, or we saw somewhere. So it looks like a podcast. Our other show, which is getting ready to air Tuesday, is called Battleground. So Battleground is actually a reality TV show that we built for business owners that we are bringing them in and coaching them, growing their business and showing that entire journey on everything that Chris and I just talked about. So we're pulling back the curtain on coaching. And it's like, this is what it looks like. This is what business coaching look like. This is what the dirty part of entrepreneurship, we're calling it a little bit pre-Shark Tank, if you will. We've got a lot of different reality TV show influences in there, but that's right now, visibility is our top of funnel to bring people into our ecosystem. We've done the webinar thing 100%. And there's a reason Chris and I are both part of the LA Tribune. And it is because we're all going to go faster together. We are going to grow our audience bigger and faster. And this is a top of funnel. It looks and smells just like a webinar. The only difference is I don't have a PowerPoint presentation going. That's just about the only difference here. But there's knowledge to be had through these podcasts. The main key, if you're launching a podcast, you're launching a TV show, you're doing a webinar, whatever your top of funnel is, your biggest key is call to action. What are you asking people to do? How are you getting them to enroll into your ethos? That is the critical part that we blow it. It's amazing. We bring this tremendous value and confidence to people. And then we rush at the very end and go, quick, you can call me over here. You got to ask for the business in the first place. Come work with me. Come be part of what we do. Just be part of our system. Watch the show, like, subscribe, whatever you're doing, YouTube, wherever your space is, make sure you're telling the people what you want them to do. We're as humans, we want to be told what to do. Like we do. Somebody's got to give us directions in some aspect. That's really what your call to action is. You're just giving directions to where people need to go.
So smart. So that's so cool about your shows. The business idea or the business coaching one is like brilliant. That's so super smart because you're positioning yourself as a business. I mean, which you are, like an incredible business coach, but like now you're putting yourself on display for everyone to see. And it's like, of course I want to work with him. Like all these people are, and he's got a show. Where are these airing?
So initially they're going to air on E360 TV, the REN network. And that's our pirate internet TV station that we've got. It's very cool. But you can download the app E360 TV, easiest way to find it. In a couple weeks, it's going to happen here directly. And by the time this airs, it may have already happened. It will probably be on Tubi and Pluto and Roku and Fire and all of the streaming networks. We've actually got a syndication deal that's coming through it's right there. It's so close. And you'll be able to just find it everywhere, which is going to be a ton of fun. And then you can find the podcast on the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network. It's a great place to find it. We're on Simplecast, anywhere you get your podcast. And it's Simplecast, Apple, iTunes, all the places, SiriusXM, same place you can find Chris's.
I'm so excited for you. That's amazing.
It's terrifying. I will not lie because this has been a ton of work to get this show up and running. We've got, we have five contestants, we have six coaches, we have an Emmy award-winning producer that's actually putting the show together for us and building it. We've got great network support. We're at this very cool spot that we've never been before. So like here's a little bit of, I guess, intuitive business practice for you guys. This again goes back to where Chris started with, you got to have those mentors and role models. Like it'd be easy for us to be out in the desert right now and just go, well, we're plowing down this road. You know, we've done it, but there's tons of people that have done this before. Does it look exactly like ours? No, but there's plenty of people that have launched a TV show that have done these things. Who are we talking to? Who do we need to talk to today? That's, you know, and here's, I told you earlier, if you listen to one thing, listen to this, but here's another one for you. this is always one of those. In my entire life, and I think the stories demonstrate it, every single time I have hit the invisible wall, the glass ceiling, the thing that has stalled me, and I'm churning and I'm stuck in that space, it has never been a process. It's never been a system. It's never been a resource that has gotten me to the other side. It is a who. It is a person every single time without fail. And I can promise you, if I went out and I interviewed some of the greatest people out there in the world, they're going to tell me the same thing. Like I've recognized it, and that's what's moving us forward, is if I hit a wall and I get to that spot and I'm like, I can't answer this question. It's not a matter of what do I need to know to answer this question. It's who knows how to answer this question. Go find the person. The who will move you there.
Amazing. Like, can you just drop your mic right now? Like
Well, it's up here. I could pull it down.
Pull it in. No, I mean, I feel like I'm so glad you shared that, because I don't feel like I've heard anyone say that before. And it's so true. Like, we've all heard, like, oh, it's who you know. But if the way you phrased it, like, if you don't know that person, like, Google is free, ChatGPT is free, like, go find that person and cold outreach and do what you have to do. Like, I can't tell you how many times even with my book, I have great endorsements, right? I can't tell you how many authors are like, how did you get Michael Beckwith? Or how'd you get Anita Morjani? Or how'd you get John Gray? And I'm always like, how do you think I did? I asked them. I literally reached out and asked them. That and is it like Mark, blows people's minds.
Mark Victor Hansen wrote a book called Ask. Mm. It is a brilliant book on a simple concept. And it is absolutely true. And Chris is 100% right in that. Ask. This is what we're talking about. And this is where coaches fail in their business. They don't ask. This is where, man, it is a critical spot, is you've got to ask. And it's no different than, you know, I hear you can go to the mental health space, right? And this is a weird shift, but this is true too. It's all right to ask for help. It is 100%. If you got to hear it today, I give you permission to ask for help. If that's what you need to hear, if one person needed to hear that today, beautiful, fantastic. Like, it is all right. It is perfectly fine. I ask for help all the time. I want to be, and I've said this a million times, I don't want to be the smartest person in the room.
Yeah.
If I'm the smartest person in the room, I'm in the wrong room. I need to be able to up level all the time. Who am I asking for help? Who knows the answer to this thing? And sometimes it's people that in a past life didn't, you know, in a different space that you may have been in, you may know who it is. They just may not be part of your universe right now, but it's okay to reach back out and go, I'm having this struggle, and I think you're the person with the answer. 100%.
This also like ties back to something I teach, which is take action, right? Like, you have to take action, and then like the right people to help you will appear on your path. And it's even better when you pair it with Jake's knowledge or Jake's advice of like, find the right person and reach out. You know, this just happened to me, though, is the reason I'm saying that. Like, I had someone on the podcast who, after I was like, hey, can you hang out for a minute? Like, I'm also launching a TV show. You know that. Actually, two also. And he hung out, and he used to be a producer, and he has done so much for me. And it's amazing. And he had this line, and I loved it. He was like, there's three stages of life. learning, earning, and returning. And I'm in the returning phase. And that's why I'm doing this for you. And I think that that's so true of so many of these like famous or well-known people. Like they've kind of made it, right? Like they want to give back a lot of times. They want to help people out. They want to mentor people.
That's absolutely true. 100% true. And Chris knows this too. Like this is what you teach on. You work on this manifestation piece a lot, is focus on what you want. Focus on the solution. Focus on the problem. Like my favorite coaching quote of all time is, what you focus on expands. Totally plagiarized. I steal it, but I use it all the time. I love that quote. What you focus on expands. If you are looking for the solution, if you are actively seeking the solution, when the last thing you think of when you lay down and you go to sleep at night is, I'm looking for the answer for this solution. Your unconscious brain goes to work while you're sleeping. And at some point, as if by magic, right, you can go to that, it will come to you. It will come there. It will show up. And that's where that manifestation comes from. And a lot of people are like, oh, that's all the woo-woo stuff. Good. I'm glad that you feel that way, because it's awesome when it happens. It does feel woo-woo. It's awesome. But like the manifestation piece is, it's reality. It's what the energy you put forth is the energy you will receive. I mean, there is, I couldn't even begin to tell you how much science there is. There's probably enough manuscripts to fill my entire house, floor to ceiling, and overflow onto my property without question. Like, it is so important when you focus on the solution. So where Chris was talking about, I'm working on this, and I'm looking for this. And it wasn't coincidental that this individual said, you know, that Chris asked, and she made the point. She could have skipped by it. She could have let that moment pass, but she made the decision to act and say, hey, can you hang out for a minute? I got a question for you. It moved the needle. Because that's what she needed in the time. And that's the manifesting into your world. I absolutely believe that's true. Love that.
Yeah, you're making me think, like, when you're saying, like, oh, it's just woo-woo. It's like, you don't have to listen to Jake. You don't have to listen to me. But you can try this for yourself. Right? Like,
yes, you can. Yeah.
Before you have an opinion about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, here's the other thing. It's not a one and done. Like, we can't write it down one time in the journal and say, well, I wrote it down, it didn't happen, manifestation is a joke. Right. No, that's not quite how that works. Like, you have to focus on it. You have to pay attention to it. You've got to let it grow. You've got to nurture it. You've got to feed it. Like, you've got to feed the intentions of what they got to do. You got to give them water. You got to give them exercise. Treat it like a kid. Treat it like a pet. Treat it like a family member. Treat it like a loved one. Nurture it. It will develop.
Yeah. So, so true. So important. Yeah. Like, become obsessed with it almost, right? In a good way. Like, let it be the thing you think about, like you said, before you go to bed at night. Wow. I love how many insights and wisdom you dropped. I hate to even ask this because you've shared so many gold nuggets, but is there anything we haven't touched on today that you like really want to get out to people, whether it's about mindset or coaching or just something totally different?
You know, I think it goes back there in the middle. We were talking about The Prosperous Coach, a little bit about that book. And it's, you've got to understand what we do in our universe is not about us. It's not about you. Like, wake up in the morning, it's not about me. Go to bed at night, it's not about me. And I will prove it to you. Here's my challenge for everybody. This is a super easy challenge. Everybody can do this and it'll feel good. I want you to go to, I'm not going to pitch, go to a coffee shop. Let's say coffee. I almost used the word, I almost used the brand because I call it that. But go to a coffee shop or post office. Post office is a great one, actually. Don't go in. I want you to stand at the door and I want you to open the door for people. Open the door for people. Make eye contact with them. Smile. Say good morning. Hope you have a great day. No other reason. I challenge you to do that. And I dare you to come out of there being in a bad mood after you do it. Because what happens, all kinds of chemical cool things happen for you when you do that. This is a random act of kindness at its basic core space. What you are inviting into your world is joy and happiness. You are opening, by opening the door, there's a physical piece that happens there. You open the door, you make eye contact, because we still like eye contact. We're still human nature. Smile. Smiling is a big piece, right? You don't want to be in, hey, good morning, how are you? Right? You got to smile and be happy about it. You know, how are you today? You will be surprised. And here's what's going to happen. Here's how you know it's not about you. You never know what somebody else is going through. What's going on in their universe? What's happening in their day? You need to understand that that very simple act of kindness may change a person's trajectory in the universe, put them on a completely different path. Maybe they're, God, you know, I mean, they could be going through something horrible, and a random stranger smiling and telling them, have a great day, for no other reason than they get to, can change their life. I had a great coach, Terry Gurnow, was one of my coaches. And he said, Jake, the power of being a coach is the right question asked at the right time, or the right statement made at the right time, will change a person's life. It's the power every single person has, not just as a coach. We have tremendous power as coaches. Every person has that ability.
Like Barb did for you.
Like Barb did for me.
Beautiful. Amazing. Well, if you're listening, try the challenge. Let us know on social media. Our handles are in the show notes. Let us know how it went.
I'd love that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's so powerful. And just like also the act of seeing someone is so powerful. Not to bring it to like a depressing point, but I don't know if you've ever seen that documentary about people who have jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge. There was that one guy, you know what I'm talking about? He wrote in his note, he was like, I'm going to walk to the bridge, like across the city, which is like hours long walk. And he's like, if one person smiles at me, I won't do it. And it gives me like goosebumps because it's like so sad, but it's such a reminder, like we need that human connection. Like you said, especially in this day and age, where we're all like behind screens all the time.
Yeah, 100%. We still crave that connection. We still crave the physical touch. We still crave the interaction. You know, you can think of a person's energy as the bubble, right? When you know when you cross somebody else's bubble, like you know when it happens, and that's still an energy. Like it's a recharge for us. Like just think of, you know, bumping into other people, you get a charge from it. Your body does certain things. There's a whole chemical and physical reaction that occurs that you can go all neuroscience on, but the reality is it makes you feel good. Like being around people, hanging out with people, smile, like wear your smile outside. There's one person that we know, Nicole Cowley, that we see all the time. I am tired. I've made a point of trying to smile as much as Nicole does on a call. I will get on there and I'll try to smile. It hurts. It actually, like my jaw physically is sore by doing it, but I feel amazing. But just one of those people, like be that person for somebody else.
Do you tell her that? You should tell her that.
I tell her that all the time.
Oh, good.
On purpose. Yes. And I do. I message her privately when we're in there. I'm like, hey, it's great to see your smiling face. Thank you. Yep. 100%. Absolutely true.
Well, now you're going to make me start smiling on the calls more. So, well, maybe it'll just be a ripple effect. Jake, you're awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and imparting so much knowledge and wisdom. And I'm sure people want to know how they can work with you, where they can find you. You've already told us where to find the shows, but if they want to work with you, your social media, all the things.
Yeah. You can find me on social media. It's Jake Clendang. Pretty easy. I do have a cousin named Jake Clendang, so careful you're not hanging out with him. But I'm easy to find. Or you can go directly to the website, which is www.total-disruption.com. That's our primary website, and that has all of the links and all the spaces. Find us on YouTube. You can see years of me doing dumb and goofy stuff and just being a general coach. If you need more of me, there's probably my old podcast is housed there. But go to the Total Disruption YouTube page. You can find us there. Not hard to find. And by all means, and here's what I'll tell everybody. Find me, tell me that you saw me on Chris's, and I'll give you a book. I'll give you one of the books, whichever one you want.
Amazing. Take him up on that offer. Thank you so much again for coming on. You're such a joy to talk to. If you are listening, send this to someone you think would resonate with it. Like, comment, share, subscribe, all the things. Let's help lift humanity up. Have a beautiful rest of your day, everyone. I will see you next week.